Welcome to Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here, joined by a very special guest, another Smith, Evan Smith. Thanks for being with us, Evan.
Hey, everybody. What's going on?
We got our
it's
cool
Friday,
DJ
tell.
Evan in the house. All right, so for you, I do feel like you were one of the more interesting personalities in the locker room, a little bit different. First of all, the music taste, I hear, is always a little bit different than some of the other guys. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, I got a wide variety, but I'm a rocker, we all kind of get the rap, the R&B and stuff like that. So I like to mix it up, it's some reggae or, some smooth jazz, maybe.
That is a wide variety.
Very diverse, just like Evan, which we were just talking about before the show, the idea of how you're diverse even in the positions you can play, and you're playing multiple positions on the O-line. How did you get to a position where you were able to do that, and how much has that helped you in your career?
I found out very quick that the more you can do, we were just talking about this, but the more you could do, the more value you have. I mean, especially as offensive lineman, if all you could do is play one spot, we only get seven guys on game day. Mm-hmm. So you need one guy that can play three different spots and another guy that can play two, plus the other five guys that got to start. So, if one guy goes down, a lot of times you see everything just get mixed up, musical chair style, and but if you have one guy that can kind of do it all, it helps you kind of keep that continuity in the line.
If you had to choose, if you got to choose which position you'd play for the rest of your career, is there one you like more than the other of those three?
I don't know. They both got their pluses and minuses. As long as I'm on the field.
So you say both. You're counting right. Guard, left guard is the same thing. There's not that much difference.
Yeah, it's just honestly getting used to, some days you just, if you're switching size, your body has to kind of get used to that. It's not like a, hey, if you sat one way for so long and all of a sudden it's like you got to sit the other way, you're going to be uncomfortable.
Right.
It's one of those things you always got to be in your mind. You have to be able to get comfortable very quickly and flip all the plays over, flip all the, all your assignments and everything over. You got to be able to think like that. So it helps that I've been doing it for a long time. I definitely have the experience, so I can always fall back on that. But it's one of those things that I've always taken pride in the fact that I can do multiple things because – that's what allowed me to be an undrafted free agent to a guy that's played nine years. So,
unlike a lot of positions, the O-line is usually just five guys, just those five guys playing almost every snap.
Yeah.
But that's not really been the case so far this year. You've been sort of alternating with Kevin Pamphill. What is that like? That's not an experience you've had a lot before, right?
It's not something that I've usually you put five guys out there, but, if they want more than that or if they want me to get in there and play – I told Kevin, and I always feel this way too, it doesn't matter who's out there. You have to perform at a certain level. There's an expectation. There shouldn't be any drop-off. There shouldn't be a, we got this guy in. Everybody watch out. Because sometimes, maybe you get young guys in there that, they're a little not as experienced and stuff like that. So for me, it's just, I get in there and the level of play has to stay the same or go up or whatever it is, however the game's going. I just got to make sure that my job is that when I get in there, my job gets done at a high level.
Yeah, Coach Cutter's been saying it over and over again since August. The reason you're playing is because you were playing really well. You said you played really well in the preseason and in training camp. Was there some sort of goal on your part when it looked like this was a starting five, but you're going to work just as hard as possible to sort of force them to put you on the field?
Honestly, when I came in, I heard all offseason they were going to put the best five guys out there. Honestly, my goal is just to make the team. This is one of those things that, I'm just trying to make sure I'm providing for my family first and foremost, because this is my job, my way of life. And so that was kind of my first objective. But to do that, I knew that there were some things I had to do better this year. So in the offseason, I lost 15 pounds, kind of reshaped my body. I had to work on some areas, with that I was having troubles with injury-wise last year. So I really kind of took a different approach in the offseason, and I've actually see it now, even in the offseason, in camp, it paid off a lot for me down the road. So I'm able to move better, and I feel a lot more, a lot more powerful playing. So
that's awesome. And the Giants obviously coming up, we know a few things about a couple of their O-linemen and particularly their ability to pass rush, but the Giants also are giving up just insane amounts of rushing yards. So do you guys kind of get a little excited about the ability of getting that rushing game going against a team that has struggled against it so far this year?
Yeah, well, if we're going to be playing against their own line, I would hope we would be killing them in the run game.
I didn't know if you realized you said it, did you?
That's fair.
They got a good front. They got a great defense. I think their defense has definitely kept them in a lot of their games this year. You look at their record, a lot of people are kind of bashing them right now, but, they got a good football team. It's a tough league. It's a week in, week out. you know, you saw it last week. For in week we're hot, next week we go up. We don't play to our ability, and you know, they hand us, you know, they hand us our lunch pail on the way out and say, have a good, you know, have a good night. So for us, you know, our biggest thing is we just got to show up, whoever it is, every week. They definitely got some talent on that side of the ball. It's going to be a good challenge for us, but I think we're ready, you know, to kind of get back out there and show that what we put out on the field last week wasn't what we're, it wasn't what the fans should be expecting week in and week out from us.
J.R. Sweezy used to play D-line. He might be able to play against their O-line.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. So for you, knowing that that game was obviously not what you guys think of yourselves and don't plan on putting out there, how much do you carry that over to the next game of letting it fuel you? Or is it like, do you guys really stick to that 24-hour rule and then it's just, it's over?
Honestly, you just dump it. In all honesty, maybe if there's some things that you know you could work on, or maybe if there's something in the game that you were having trouble with, whatever it is, you can work on your technique for the week, you know, just to get it fixed. But overall, I mean, it's such a quick change. You know, I mean, we're going to be playing Sunday night and then turning right around the next morning, we're going to be installing for, you know, the Patriots the next day. I mean, you literally have to just, you know, it's compartmentalize and then just dump it. Like, you know, you get it through the week, you have your notes, you study. It's just like, you know, anything else. You know, you're getting ready for presentations, whatever it is. You had to cram that thing, but once it's all said and done, you know, you sign the deal, everybody's out the door, you know, it's on to the next one. So for us, we just definitely making sure that this week is totally different mindset. Everybody's, you know, the defense has really been on top of it this week. I've been watching them in practice or flying around out there being more aggressive. So I'm excited to watch the game.
As an offensive lineman, do you have to sort of learn your quarterback? Like maybe he tends to step up or tends to go in certain directions, or just everything moving too fast and you're just trying to block your guy?
Honestly, it's not so much your quarterback. A lot of it is you know, a lot of it is just understanding maybe how the defense is trying to attack you, because that would kind of more dictate how the quarterback might be stepping up. So if we're getting pressure from the outsides, you know, he might be stepping up more. Or, you know, if they're just going straight rush, it might be a little bit different. But with Jameis, you know, Jameis done a good job this year of really increasing his pocket awareness. He's been doing a good job of stepping up. We've been doing a good job of blocking for him this year too. So we just got to keep that up and keep him clean.
And Doug Martin being out for these first few games and knowing you're getting him back soon, how much does it matter to you guys who you're blocking for in the run game, or is it just you're doing your job and it doesn't matter who's back there?
It doesn't matter. It's our job to block for whoever they hand the ball off to. I mean, if Doug's, you know, when Doug comes back, he's going to get the same kind of effort and finish that we would give Jacquees, Peyton, you know, any of those guys back there. So we always make sure that it doesn't matter who's back there, we're going to block it up.
Do you ever hope as an O-line that people understood a little bit more the nuances of what you guys do? Because I feel like so often people only know what you've done if you've done something wrong, that that's when your name gets called, that there's a penalty. Do you really wish you could almost just tell people, like, do you have any idea?
I'll say this. If you want to be an offensive lineman, you got to have really thick skin. You have to be able to think extremely quick and make accurate decisions very fast. You have to be able to process information extremely fast. You have to be able to fix things that maybe we don't have, you know, if it's a crazy look or something, you got to be able to fix it. Everyone's got to get on the same page. And then on top of that, there's five guys that had to do it like that.
Yeah.
So it's it's pretty bang bang out there. I think, you know, I always wanted to, you know, have somebody go out there and I'll just be like, you know, you guys go out there and play D-line, and I'm gonna let this 300-pound dude super athletic get in front of you, and I'm just gonna watch.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens when you're laying on your back.
And apparently, you got to be able to handle the finger being a little misshapen.
This little guy. Don't worry about this little guy.
You got nine more.
Yeah, it's been like this for a couple years, and it ain't coming back. So no, I tore the tendon in my finger, and it
But now it's like already ready to go grab a lineman.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I actually have had an instance or so where I'll go and a guy kind of gets me and my hand gets stuck, but I know this hand, like this, this is like stuck right in his shoulder pad, and I just kind of pull myself back onto him. So it's worked to my advantage before. Yes.
Do you hate it when you're blocking a guy and maybe you're blocking him on the move and you block him and he falls down, and then because he fell down right in front of you, you also fall down and they call you for holding? That happened to DeMar, I think, in the last
game. I mean, you can't really, you know, it's tough.
It.
I mean, it's tough. D linemen are kind of throwing their arms up a little bit more. They're getting the calls a little more now than they used to. I mean, they used to play a little bit harder back then, but you know, now some guys, they'll just kind of take the easy way out and be like, oh, no, he's blocking me, and just go like this, and they'll be like, oh, he held him, you know. Because that's all the refs see. They just see the guy go arms up like, oh, I can't get out. And it's like, come on, man. So.
Come on, man. That's our come on, man, for the week. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, Evan, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck this Sunday. Excited to watch that game. Stick with us. We still have two more segments. One's getting to your Twitter questions. Use that hashtag, BucksLive, and we'll be right back.
know nobody's going to let another man walk in their house and take something from them. So take that to heart. This is personal to me.
We call this the jungle. It's our house today, man. Let's be great, man. Let's go. Let's get it then, man.
Be legendary today. Don't forget, this is our house. This is our house.
Now takes the snap, looks to his right, look, crossing round ball, hot ball, touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hit the back, dropped. It's a Lavonte David quarterback sack, his second of the game.
Let's make it count, we're past the 50, okay?
Big Winston looking, James gonna run to the left of the 10, he throws to the inside, touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Attack, technique, and takeaways, got it?
It's picked off. Intercepted the 30. To the 25. To the 20. Quan Alexander will take it to the house. Touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Welcome back into Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here, and we just had Evan Smith on. If you missed that, it was a great segment. Evan is always one of those guys that definitely gives great answers, honest answers. He is insightful and funny and very unique.
Yeah, we were saying off camera that if we could have an Evan Smith unfiltered show.
Oh, my gosh.
It would be entertaining.
And he just personality-wise is so different and unique in so many ways, and I mean, he has this incredible car that's like classic.
Oh, wow.
That is really just... It's what a lot of guys will tell you is like the best one in the player lot.
That what is it?
So unique. It's the
why didn't we talk to him about this?
So it's a Bel Air. So we've done a little like tour of it before. So it's probably still on our website if people can go see it. But it's a Bel Air. It's a 57, I think. Bel Air somewhere in there, and it's like it's just so unique. And his daughter named it Miss Cherry because the paint job.
That's
and
nice.
But then it's got a skull for the, like,
oh,
stick
my goodness.
Shift.
Wow,
so
cool.
It's funny. Like, oh, yeah, my daughter named it. And then here's this, like, skull stick.
Well, he's got them all over his arms,
oh, yeah,
too. So I think she's probably used to that sort of
thing. I asked him his favorite Christmas present once, and he said zombie throwing stars from his wife. So it's
from his wife.
From his wife. I was like, this family
is Well, you
is
have
great.
To fight off zombies.
I enjoy this family a lot.
She was just being practical.
That's very true. It's probably the most helpful, safe gift.
I mean, if you
ever
run into zombies and you don't have your throwing stars on you,
go find Evan Smith,
you'll be
and
sorry.
He will help you out. All right, so looking at this Giants game, we talked to him a little bit about what the Bucs are going to need to do to get that running game going. I mean, that's just going to be huge because not only have the Bucs not done what they want to do so far in the other games, but the Giants so far have looked like they're the team that if you want to get it going, they might be the team that you have a chance against.
Although I feel like when we have situations like that, it never seems to go to script.
Right.
Exhibit A, B, and C, Case Keenum.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you would think from looking at the stats that they're they'd be vulnerable to the run. They are probably getting their middle linebacker back. He's missed the last couple games, and he had a really good first game before getting hurt. He had something like 18 tackles, so that should help him. Although one of their other linebackers, Tony Casillas, might not be able to play. He's on the injury report, so maybe a little give and take there. But I think I'm going to be parroting Coach Cutter here a little bit. I think we're drawing too many conclusions about the Bucs running game based on two games. And remember, we actually had a nice total in the first game of 117 yards, but that was somewhat driven by circumstance. We only averaged about 3.7 yards a carry because we were running a lot at the end directly into a defense that knew we were running because we had a big lead. And in the last game, we only had 26 yards, but we also only ran it 9 times, which is the lowest number of carries we've ever had in a game.
Right.
It's tied. And Coach Cutter pointed out we did run it 6 of the first 13 plays. So everybody knows what happened. I'm not the one pointing it out.
Right.
Everybody knows you got down by a lot and you had to throw.
Changes your game plan.
You just
plan,
had
yep.
to do it. I mean, there wasn't any point in running. Even if you can get 4 yards, not much point in that because you're chewing up a lot of clock to get 4 yards.
That's true.
I know for a fact that Coach Cutter and Todd Monken and the rest of the coaching staff very much believes in running the football and getting that going first. And I brought it up before, you know, the running game was fantastic in 2015, and it wasn't very good last year. But if you look at the percentages of when we ran it, how often we ran it, how often we ran it on first and 10, it's almost identical. So they never give up on that concept until you get down three touchdowns in the second half.
Right.
So they will be trying to run against the Giants. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. And I tend to think it's going to work out.
And obviously, potentially without Quan and Levante, and that's a huge blow to this defense. The one good thing as far as the run stoppage is that the Giants haven't seemed to run it a whole lot either. But then when you see how much they can all of a sudden turn that passing game on by that 24 points in the fourth quarter of their last game, where do you see the absence of Levante and Quan potentially being the biggest problem?
Well, one thing to keep in mind is you got Kendall Beckwith, who's played well and was a starter even before moving in the middle. He was still one of the three starting linebackers. He's still there even if Quan and Levante are out. And in this particular game, you're not really going to see very many three linebacker sets from us because the Giants run out of 11 personnel, that's three wide receivers, more than any team in the league. That's basically their base set. In fact, if you look at their official printed depth chart, there's three receiver spots and one running back and one tight end. That's just their base thing. Plus, their tight end is like a slightly bigger receiver. Mm-hmm. He's really fast and can run receiver routes, Evan Ingram. So they're going to be running against – we're going to be running our nickel and maybe our dime for a good percentage of that game. And, no, they have not run the ball well, and they really have had that problem for a few years now. And I think some of that, they don't really have great personnel but for that. But they also – I don't think they're choosing to run the ball that much. You know what I'm saying? They know what their strengths are.
Right.
And if they're going to run, they're going to run probably a lot of out of shotgun with a single back. So you're going to have to have guys like your slot corner, like Robert McClain, or your other cornerbacks or your safeties are going to have to be involved in that run defense. So it's not just how healthy the linebackers are. And that's probably a good thing for us this week,
right,
since we do potentially have that problem.
That's true. And looking at the corners and safeties, the secondary overall obviously did not perform the way they would have liked this last Sunday, for sure. And so, I mean, tough one to rebound with when you know how Eli and Odell and Shepard and those guys can really make a big impact.
But it happens all the time. Rebounds, rebounds like that happen all the time.
And so what do you think it's going to be that when we look at if they are able to rebound, if they are able to slow that passing attack, what will it have been that has done
well,
that?
You've got potentially Brent Grimes back this week. He's been practicing all week, so I think we can be optimistically hoping that that's the case. If that's the case, then you're back to your secondary that you started the season with. You may not have TJ Ward available. He's been not practicing most of the week with a hip injury. But you still have the two starting safeties you started the season with. So I think the talent is there. They certainly were fine against Chicago for the most part. So they just have things they have to fix. I mean, that's what they do when they have a bad game like this. The secondary had a bad game. Coach Cutter said it. He said what the corners did wrong, and he said what the safeties did wrong. And the fact that they know that means that they can perfect their approach. And, you know, I think we have the personnel. Brent Grimes had a phenomenal year last year. Vernon Hargraves is still young, but he's a first-round draft pick. Obviously, there's a lot of talent there. So, you know, I see these kind of bounce backs all the time because sometimes a really bad game makes people believe you're really bad when it was just a really bad day.
Right. That's very true. And looking at the O-line, that was the first game last week that, you know, we kind of heard a few things about, you know, Ali Marpet struggling at his new role at center, just a couple misconnections basically kind of between him and Jameis, and we hadn't heard that at all offseason, all preseason. This was the first even whispers of there being anything other than great performance on his part. Do you think that was just kind of a one game, everything seemed to kind of go wrong in that game situation?
It was his first game at center in a regular season game in a loud place on the road.
Right.
In retrospect, it's probably not surprising that he had a few errant snaps. I think he had three in about a four-snap range. That's what Coach Cutter said. So he had one little glitch there. And you don't want it, obviously, but it's not really terribly surprising given that the guy has learned a new position. He wasn't a center before. Yeah, you didn't hear anything bad about his snaps till that game, right? So I chalk it up to a tough environment, hard to hear, and his first time doing it. So maybe if we hadn't had our game in Miami washed out by a hurricane, he'd have got a little taste of that then, and he might have had his bad snaps then. Every time you ask Coach or anybody else on the staff about Allie, they all believe he's on his way to becoming a great, great center. And he would have been a great guard if he'd remained there as well.
That's awesome. Yeah, I actually heard yesterday on 620 that they were asking people to do a past, current, and future star of Tampa Bay sports, and someone actually picked Allie as the future star, which I thought was a very insightful fan.
They don't pick offensive linemen very often.
I know. I was like, that's pretty incredible. Though. All right, we still have one more segment coming up, which is getting to your Twitter questions. You can keep sending those in. Use that hashtag, BucksLive, and we'll be right back.
Hey, Tampa Bay. to shine. Hey, Tampa Bay, the Bucks know how to shine.
Give a cheer for the Buccaneers. Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Hey, Tampa Bay, the Bucks know how to shine.
Hey, Tampa Bay, the Bucks know how to shine. Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Go Bucks!
Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Stand up!
Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Go Bucks!
Because we know we're on the top.
We stand up!
Welcome back into Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. We are going to get to some of your Twitter questions. You can keep sending those in. Use that hashtag BucksLive. And before we get to those, though, the injury report just got released. Normally, it's a little later, after the show, so we don't always get a chance to talk about it on here. So
one of the reasons it came out quicker is because you're talking about two Eastern time zone teams, so they're pretty much on the same schedule. Like when we're playing Minnesota, we're waiting an extra hour. We're not going to put ours out till they give us theirs.
Right.
So
that makes sense.
Yeah, just a little bit of insider knowledge for you there. So yeah,
Buccaneers insider. This is priceless info here.
Yes, this is just hot off the presses here.
The ink is still wet.
We were saying we thought. Well, we can tell you for sure, Kwan's not going to play. And that's not surprising.
Not surprising, but still sad.
And Levante David is doubtful, and we all know the word doubtful generally means they're not going to play. Generally, right. you leave them doubtful on the injury report if you think there's a shot. So we don't want to say out now, just in case he gets remarkably better in the next 48 hours. But yeah, that doesn't look good.
That's unfortunate.
And then also TJ Ward's doubtful. Same thing. Neither of those guys practiced at all this week. TJ got a hip injury in the last game. But the rest of the news looks pretty good.
Okay.
I mean, there essentially half of the defensive line was on this injury report.
Right.
And it looks pretty good for most of them. You know, you had Chris Baker and Jackie Smith on there because they were they had the flu. And that's why they missed the last game. And they were fine when the week started, but by NFL rules, when you're doing an injury report, if a player misses the previous game, he has to be on the injury report the next week. And then, you know, if he gets better, you take him off.
Right.
And that's what happened. Now, don't get too excited necessarily about Jacquees, though, because...
That's what I was just about to ask. Yeah. Like, is this when he finally has his triumphant return?
I'm thinking maybe me, not quite yet, is my guess. Only because of what Coach said. He was asked about him after practice today. So here's more hot off the press and stuff for you. And just the way he said it, he said he saw Jacquees do some really good things. He knows he's a great pass rusher, and he saw some of that. But he just didn't think he looked quite ready yet. Like, he needs a little more contact first, is the way Coach put it.
It now, has been a long road, time.
A long road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's got to be so
poor guy. Well, that's exactly what Coach Cutter was saying yesterday.
Yep.
So anytime a guy is on the injured list, he goes through all that rehab all offseason, and he just doesn't feel like he's part of the team. And it's a tough thing to do.
It's very true.
And then Jackie's right there ready to begin training camp, and he has a setback. And then he still manages to make it back and make the 53-man roster, doesn't go on the PUP list or anything, and he gets the flu. I mean, come on.
That's so unfortunate. It's killing me.
So
when he does come back, whenever that is, I mean, what do you think are reasonable expectations for what he could contribute?
Well, you know, I don't think they wanted Jacquees to be a three-down defensive end anyway. I think they wanted Jacquees and Noah to be their pass rushing specialists. And that's how it was supposed to start last year. You know, he got hurt after one defensive play. He actually got hurt on special teams, but he played one defensive play because in Atlanta, you know, we played Atlanta start that week. Atlanta, that year, I mean, they had a three and out, I believe, and so he wasn't in there on first and second down, but he came in on third down to rush the passer. We got off the field, And before we could play in our defensive series, Jackie's got hurt on special teams. So that's it. He played one snap. But you saw what it was. I think they had Jackie's at left end and Noah Spence at right end. I think we would – I'm not saying we would do that for every pass rushing down, but I think you would see some of that when we have all those guys back. And Noah Spence also on the injury report because he hurt his shoulder, but he practiced all week, full participation, and he's questionable. And remember, there's no probable anymore.
Right.
So if you feel kind of good like Brent Grimes and Noah Spence and Gerald McCoy, hopefully all those guys will be fine.
Which would be huge. All right, and you can continue sending in your Twitter questions to us. We're going to get to those now. Use that hashtag BucksLive. We have a question from Jim. He says, how come O.J. Howard hasn't been targeted more?
Well, I think, you know, coach will say things a lot like, you know, it's just sometimes the ball has to find you. It's not that he's doing anything wrong. It's just that Jameis finds an open man over here. And also I think he's done really well with his blocking, so he stays in to block a lot.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned last week, O.J. Howard is playing a lot of snaps. He's playing more than any other tight end. So he's on the field. He's going to get his chances. In the first game, he was thrown out on the very first play of the season. And in the second game, he had a catch on the opening drive. So it's just going to continue to be more and more. But there's nothing wrong with what's going on because you have Cam Brate. And if you're throwing the ball to Cam Brate, that's usually a pretty successful thing. So eventually, you're going to have both those guys putting up the numbers. But there's no concerted effort to keep O.J. out of the passing attack. It's just right. The ball hasn't found him a lot yet.
Okay. Eric wants to know, if it weren't for the hip injury to T.J. Ward, do you think he would be close to winning a starting spot?
I don't know if they're ever going to complete. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a chance that he could supplant Keith Tandy as a starter somewhere along the line. But they're going to want to continue to play Keith because those are both two very good players. So this may be another one of those positions where, as it goes along, we decide it's not necessarily all that important who was called the starter,
right.
You know, because they're both going to play. But listen to Coach Mike Smith's talk this week. It sure sounded like as he learns more and more and gets more comfortable, they're going to want him to do more. I think he's going to be a big part of this defense before it's all said and done.
Okay. Jake wants to know, now that we've heard about the injury report, do you think the way the defensive line could look this week is enough to get after Eli?
Yeah. I mean, you got most of what you started with. You just have to worry that those guys don't run into all the mishaps they did in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Gerald was obviously fighting through an ankle injury, going out and coming back in. Robert Ayers went down at one point. Noah Spence is now wearing a shoulder harness like he did last year. So there's little needling problems there, but you generally have most of the cast of characters that you wanted. You got Chris Baker back, and if you recall, in the first game, which Chris played in, he personally didn't have any stats, but everybody was raving about how him and Gerald McCoy were occupying so many blockers, and that's why we're getting pressure off the edges. And we had a bunch of quarterback pressures. Gerald McCoy got some pressures because Chris Baker's taken attention away from him. So I think that's going to help a lot to have him back.
Okay. Brandon says, I hate to exaggerate, but it feels like these two games could make or break the season, being so close together and being the difference potentially in 3-1 or 1-3. Do you agree?
No. But it's going to feel that way. I ain't going to lie. It's going to feel that way. Right now, I feel that way. So I'm just trying to use reason over emotion.
Right.
Last year, we started with a great win, went on the road, had a terrible loss, and then ended lost the next two, and we're 1-3. And that's what you're staring at again then.
Mm-hmm.
But did that end our season last year?
No.
We were not eliminated from the playoffs until
the 11th hour.
11:59.
Yeah.
And had we won in New Orleans, which was certainly reasonable to believe we could, we would have made the playoffs. Now, I'm not dumb. I know that all the games count the same, and if you start 1-3, you put yourself behind the eight ball a little bit. And I said if we beat New Orleans in week 16, we'd be in the playoffs. Well, he could say if we beat the Giants in week 3, we'd be in the playoffs. And I get that. But I'm just saying it's not going to be over if that happens. We're not anticipating that happens, and it's going to feel like it's over.
Right.
It's going to feel like it's ending right in front of your face.
Right.
But after the Oakland-Atlanta games last year, would you have thought this team was going to get anywhere to sniff in the playoffs?
Probably not.
Gave up, I think, something around 1,050 yards in those two games.
Yeah.
And everybody, it felt like the
doom
sky
and gloom
was falling.
Yeah.
They tend to not be so roller coaster about it. And that's nothing wrong with that. That's what your fans, you're invested emotionally.
Yeah.
It's going
to
happen.
That's what it means
to
be a fan, yeah.
It happens to me, and I get it. I feel like these games are critical, but I know reasonably that even if we lose both of them, our efforts to make the playoffs are far from over.
Okay, which is great to hear.
But we're not going to lose.
But we're not going to lose them both, and we're going to be 3-1.
It's a moot point.
Everyone's going to be excited. All right, that's going to do it for us on Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Thanks for being with us. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you 75 minutes before kickoff on Sunday.